happening. You know, think, Andy really doesn't like these guys. I'm going to pray for these guys, and then after I do, let's give them a warm Kalkaska Church of Christ welcome as we have them bring the message from God's Word. Father, we thank you so much for Joe and Lee. We thank you for the just the so many years that Lee has served these children at the children's home, and how he's been a partner with us in Christ, not just teaching his kids about Jesus, but coming back and sharing with us what's going on and preaching from your word. Such a blessing to have him as a friend of our church and just a personal friend. And Father, we thank you for Joe, and thank you for the work that's in front of him. We thank you for the call that you put on his life to take over the reins at the children's home, and we pray that the transition would continue to go smoothly. Right now, Father, we just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to what they have to share, what you have to share for us through them and through your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks, usually they clap when Lee gets off the stage, so you're doing a very good job clapping ahead of time. Yeah, yeah.
See what I have to put up. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Joe, I want to introduce you to the Kalkaska Church of Christ.
Yes.
And the Kalkaska Church of Christ to Joe Hines and yes. Caitlin, his daughter's with him here today. And I feel like I'm introducing two of my best friends that don't know each other and introducing them together. You know, this is a special church.
Yeah.
It's a precious church. It's one of the reasons why I'm in ministry today. I'm in ministry because of God's call on my life, a godly mother and father who raised me to honor Jesus, the Kalkaska Church of Christ, and so many years at Rock Lake Christian Assembly in those days, and I'm going back there to work a week of camp starting tomorrow. And those are the reasons why I'm in ministry.
I've heard wonderful things about this church and your vitality.
You know, just a little aside here. I came in just right at the end there. I was out, I call it working the party.
Oh, yes, I get that.
Schmoozing is what I was doing. And I sat down quickly next to Vivian, just giving her a glance.
I'm glad you chose Vivian.
Well, therein lies the story.
Okay, good.
I was down at Kokomo to a little, it's a big church. They had three services. The first one was a blended service in the gymnasium, and the second one was in the old chapel, and it was the older folks, and it was very traditional. The third one, it rocked.
Yeah.
And the auditorium, the gym was filled, and I'm out talking to people, and she's gone in, and I look, and she's the second row from the front. She makes me go up all the way to the front to sit with her. Man, I go up there, I slide in, I sit down. I don't know these songs, so I'm just sitting there enjoying it. A couple of songs later, I hear a voice behind me saying, Lee, I'm back here. I have sat down to the sweetest young lady with the same color hair and the same color top on, and I have sat down in the most familiar style. A lot of contact, you know, and no.
This is my mentor, by the way. Yeah.
And I find out later on, they sat back there for one whole song saying, don't tell him. See how long it takes him to figure it out.
Yes.
So,
a product of Kalkaska. Yes, thank you. Yes. So we're here to preach, by the way.
We are.
Yes.
And the message that we're going to bring to you today is called Young Men See Visions and Old Men Dream Dreams.
Yeah.
Now, the text is taken from the sermon on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
And what a day that was, a day when the church began and with all its power. As God had promised, the Holy Spirit came and it filled the whole house with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire came and sat upon the apostles' heads. And people heard in languages, in their own languages, in languages that the apostles had never learned to preach. An event that would be comparable to Moses receiving the commandments on the top of Mount Sinai, or the Jordan River rising up as if against a gigantic invisible dam as the people entered into the promised land, or the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove at the occasion of Jesus' baptism with the voice of God from heaven above saying, "This is my beloved Son."
And just in case you haven't memorized Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read it for you just because I don't want to have you to recall it all. But Peter addresses the crowd after the event that Lee just described. So the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the people, and the crowd wanted to know what had happened. So Peter stands up, and in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, Peter addresses the crowd, and we read this. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all you who believe, who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Wow. The sun will be turned to darkness. There'll be blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the moon will turn to blood. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is exciting language. It's apocalyptic language. It's end times language. And some of it may refer to events at the time of Jesus. Some of it will deal with the things that are yet to come, and some of it has application for us even in this day. In the last days, God says, "I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." You know, every good and godly thing that you enjoy today began as a vision in someone's mind.
And, of course, we can think this through in a lot of different ways. Every good and godly thing began as a vision in someone's mind. It was alluded to already this morning how creation, the creation up in this beautiful northern part of Michigan, how creation surrounds us. It's just a breathtaking drive up from Indiana yesterday evening with my daughter and I, and the blues and the greens, and it wasn't cornfields. It was a beautiful, beautiful creation, and it reminds me of what we read in God's Word in the first chapter of Romans. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wants to convey to everyone that God's creation communicates God. Every good and godly thing began as a vision in someone's mind, and creation began as a vision in God's mind. Listen to Romans chapter 1. Paul writes and says very clearly, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Creation surrounds us. And of course, at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, we come along kids from all kinds of backgrounds and all different states. Several children from Michigan are in our care down there, and we're grateful for that partnership with families. And when we come alongside these children, one of the first things we try to help them realize is God is with them. They're at a Christian children's home. They're at a residential children's home, but God's with them.
Let's stop for a second and ask how many people here have ever visited the Woodburn Christian Children's Home.
Raise your hand.
One.
Okay.
Two. Something's broken.
Yes.
Another.
Right. Oh, very good.
We got to fix this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We need to get some people down there.
You get down there, you'll love the site. I mean, it's in northern Indiana, and it's surrounded by God's creation. It's beauty. And so when these children come into our care, we want to teach them, first and foremost, God's with them. And so back in October of last year, I was down and I participated in the early morning routine. Now, when you have a bunch of middle school boys and high school boys, as well as girls, the morning routine before school is joyful. Can anybody agree with the joyful experience before school? It's go time, baby. And so I'm down there. It was already dark. The time had already shifted, and it was still dark. But the sky, Lee, I'm telling you, the sky was breathtaking. The stars were as close as you could almost touch them. So we went outside for their morning devotion, and I used Romans chapter 1 for that devotion. And as we're sitting there, we're talking about God's creation, and no matter what's going on in their life, God is with them because His creation communicates His eternal power and divine nature, right? And so we're sitting there, we're staring at the sky, and a shooting star goes across the entire horizon. It's a preacher's...
How'd you schedule that?
It's a preacher's dream. I mean, and we all saw it. Everybody saw it except for one boy. One boy was down messing with the ground, but he pretended like he saw it, and we were okay with that. And so everybody saw it, and it was God communicating, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. Every good and godly thing began as a vision in someone's mind, in creation, first and foremost.
You know, that's true, even with regard to the concepts of justice and benevolence. You know, this society has forgotten where those precepts came from. It originated with the Lord God, with our Judeo-Christian heritage. All of these things came from the church. And as you know, and we're going to soon be turning it over to you, I'm active down in Indianapolis keeping the legislation and the regulations favorable to children's homes and Christian families.
Right.
You know, every once in a while we get a challenge to that, and someone thinks that it's totally the job of the state to take care of widows and orphans and all that kind of thing, you know. And they say, you know, Mr. Bracey, you work for us. And we fight that battle and we win. And when I get a new inspector, I tell them, you know what? This is a children's home that's going to be unlike any other children's home that you inspect. We're a square peg, but we're a mighty fine square peg. You don't have to round us off. And by the way, we have a heritage and a mandate from our Lord Jesus Christ to take care of orphans or social orphans. And so that is what we do. As a matter of fact, it's a cartoon that I love. It's actually one of the old masterpiece paintings of Jesus teaching on the hillside, and maybe the Sermon on the Mount. And they've got little cartoon bubbles over them. And Jesus is saying, all right, take care of the oppressed, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the orphans. And someone in the crowd speaks up with a bubble above him and says, why can't we just give our money to the Romans and let them do it for us? And Jesus says, now I'm going to start over from the beginning, and you tell me where I've lost you along the way. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the mandate. He gave us the mission of taking care of widows and orphans. And more often than not, we find ourselves doing both. Because lots of times the kids that come to us now, at least a third of them are being raised by grandpas and grandmas who need help. And who goes first, grandpas and grandmas? Usually it's grandma taking care of kids. So we're taking care of social orphans and widows. It's what we do.
Right.
As a much of a third of our program.
Oh, yeah. And Lee alluding to contending for the faith, Jude writes in his letter in the third verse, Jude says, I felt I had to urge and write to you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints, to us. And that word contend, with skill and commitment in opposing whatever is not of the faith. And Lee's work in Indianapolis with the legislation and the regulations, although it was Indianapolis, that ripple effects for all Christian families, right?
And contending
for the faith.
And I'll tell you what it does, too. It allows us to minister to the states around us where the regulations are more difficult to meet, or at least more exclusive with regard to full-out religious participation.
Right.
And so that's why we're able to accept kids from Michigan and do things there that you may not be able to do up here. In Illinois or Ohio. And we've raised kids from all over the United States, from Florida, from Georgia, from South Carolina, from California, from all over, because of the uniqueness of our program and the position and the stand that we've taken within our state with the help of some godly people, that we're able to do these things in a way that many others are not able to do.
Right. So every good and godly thing begins as a vision in someone's mind. Certainly we know creation began as a vision in God's mind. The parachurch organizations and different church children's homes camps, they began as a vision, and so did this church. Right? This church has got a mandate, a very clear mandate. In Matthew 28, the Bible says, go and make disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. This church began as a vision in the mind of godly men and women. And you have remained that lighthouse, that beacon of hope, right? And the vitality is obvious. When we pull into here, we can feel the sense of hope. And if we can't give anything to anybody, we could at least give them hope, a firm confidence and a positive outcome through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the church, right,
began as a vision. This church especially,
right,
began as a vision in the minds of some very godly people that had a vision even of what is occurring here today, that through generations, that the faith in Jesus Christ might be passed on from generation to generation and be made strong and be a witness to the community. You know, our parachurch organizations, our camps, Joe's going directly from here to Lake James to be the dean of a week of
wilderness camp.
Wilderness.
No
camp.
Showers, only bugs and middle school boys. Any takers?
And I'm going directly to Rock Lake Camp, where I committed my life to full-time Christian service when I was 14 years old. And I'm working at a wilderness camp, too, but I'm sleeping in the Bell Cottage. Do you see really stupid written across my forehead?
Old men dream dreams, young men see visions.
So our camps, you know, our Christian colleges and the Woodburn Christian Children's Home all began as a vision in someone's mind. And you know, Bob Nelson, who dreamed the dream originally of the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, came from Buchanan, Michigan. They will say he was quite a fellow before he became a Christian, well known in the community for certain activities. But when he became a Christian, he was all in. And Joe, you know about things that because you became a Christian midlife.
Right.
And so he tried to start a children's home twice in other places before he finally got it done in Woodburn, Indiana. All of these things began as a vision in someone's mind.
And we certainly, Lee touched on, we certainly can't overlook the family. Each and every one of your families began as a vision in God's mind and then in your mind. And the vision for God's family is to be led by a godly husband and wife, a godly parenting team, if possible. And for me, that wasn't my mark. My wife and I met. She was a Christian from birth. Seems like she went to her first worship service in her mom's belly. And she was Church of Christ from birth, and I wasn't. When she had wandered off the path, she met me, and she drugged me back onto the path. February 3rd, 2002 is when I gave my life to Christ. Didn't come to the church, and I was 33 at the time. I didn't come to church to improve my social life. It seemed like the only next step possible. And we're grateful for that. And I quickly became convicted by the fact of what Joshua writes in his beautiful ending statements in the book of, that's named after him, that as for me and my father, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. And I had to be reset because that was God's vision for the family, is to be in Christ. And then it wasn't too long after that, Lee, that I started getting indigestion, and it turns out that God wanted me to leave my engineering career and all the stuff that came with it and get on to the adventure of ministry. My kids were young enough to buy into the adventure of ministry. They're older now. They were young enough to buy into it. We sold everything. We went to Johnson Bible College, the Johnson Bible College.
Here it starts.
And we went there, and God recreated our family. And so if you've got indigestion, it could be very well a call from God on your heart. So don't misinterpret. Every good in God, you're...
So, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. You got it now, don't you? But how do you show transition better? than to do this tag team sermon and to talk about the transition in the transference of visions to dreams, or dreams to vision. So what's the difference between a vision and a dream? Well, this is not based on some nuance of Greek language. This is our idea of what it means in our case. When I was young, I had a vision of sailing the Caribbean in my sailboat. Now it's just a dream. When I was young, I had a vision of leading the children's home for the next 30 plus years. Now that would be just a dream.
Well, I got a vision too. I'm from the East Coast, and Coney Island wasn't too far from where we lived. And every year about this time, they have a Coney dog hot dog eating contest, right? So I had this vision. 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Any takers? These guys throw down 70. So I thought, that'd be a good vision. Wouldn't that be good public relations for the children's home?
No.
Okay. Visions and dreams.
You see, it's true. Young men do see visions. Old men dream dreams. And, you know, the young men at the children's home have a sense of that, too.
You know,
when we're walking down the road there between the houses, once in a while, they do that to you. You know what I'm talking about. Just a little challenge. And I'm teaching Joe that he'll have to wait a few years. But I look at him and say, you wouldn't want to hurt an old man, would you? And while they're thinking about it, I trip them and put them on the ground. Age and treachery.
Oh, yes.
Will always overcome youth and skill.
I'm blessed with mentorship. Yes, thank you.
You know, at some point, the dreams and responsibilities must be passed on to become the visions of the next generations. Now, I'm going to mess with Joe here because I'm going to use a different illustration than I did the time before. Ha! See if you can figure this out. I was out working in the garage today. It's an article I wrote many years ago. I was putting away my father's tools. There were hammers and chisels, brace and bits. Some I used when I was a kid. I hung up two hand saws with prices still stuck to them. Apparently, Dad had offered them for sale for $3 apiece. I'd have gladly paid 10 times that to have my father's tools. I use them often, in preference to my own. I like going to the old green toolbox that Dad had once accidentally backed over with the car. And when I put that tool away, I say, thanks, Dad. There's a part of my father in everything that I do. I keep them in a special place. The tools, I mean. My son likes to use them too, but he's not so careful to put them back. He seems to make no distinction between my father's and his father's tools. And perhaps that's the way it ought to be. From father to son, from father to son, from generation to generation. Each son making his father's tools his own and passing them on to the next generation. God teach me to use my father's tools, not just hammers and saws, but truth and righteousness, my heavenly father's tools that belonged also to my dad.
You know, it's interesting. My family and I have been privileged to serve alongside of Lee and Vivian for just under 2 years now, very intentionally. And prior to that, Lee always tries to come alongside new preachers and offer some mentoring to them. So I feel like I've known Lee for a long time, and we've been blessed with that. And Lee has taken the time, and I think that's the key, taken the time to pass down the accumulated knowledge and wisdom that he has become aware of through his 33 years at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, and then his almost 50 years of Christian ministry. And he has passed down that knowledge to me. And I'm reminded of the old phrase, with knowledge comes responsibility. And so now that he has passed down this knowledge, it is my responsibility as the incoming executive director to allow those bits of truth to be the centering of continue to be the centering of the Woodbury Christian Children's Home. And one of the set of truths that Lee and Vivian have impressed on our hearts is these core values. The Woodbury Christian Children's Home has at least five core values that form the foundation of everything we do. And just so that we're all on the same page, these core values, I'm just going to run through them quick. These core values is what keeps the Woodbury Christian Children's Home unique and focused on Christ. And certainly they flow perfectly. We're a ministry of the Christian Church and Church of Christ. That's a core value. We are accepting of no public funds. And that's a core value. Also another core value is we only accept private placements. Parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, guardians of the children do not lose their guardianship. It's a partnership with the family, not a replacing of the family. And another core value is we accept a child regardless of their ability to pay. Last year, less than 6% of what we call our income, or less than 6% of the cash that God has blessed us with came from the families of the children placed with us. That's why our partnership with the churches is so absolutely
grandpas
essential.
And grandmas don't have a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Single moms don't have a lot of money. People who are sick or even terminally ill, they don't have to lose their kids. They get to have relationship while they go through this time. They don't have a lot of money. People in prison don't have a lot of money, and we've taken care of kids from that circumstance, too. It's important.
It is. And these four core values all flow from our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's our fifth core value. Everything. Our Christian faith is integrated in every aspect of our life. There's no part of our daily life that is separated from the expression of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's a core value. Those five core values are the foundation, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what Lee and Vivian have passed down to my wife and I, Vicky, who's not here with us, to our family, to the board of directors, everybody. It all flows through that.
You know, we also call those core values corporate non-negotiables.
Yes.
And that's a pretty strong term. And that's exactly what they are. Now, I'll tell you what, you know just a little bit about the children's home from what Joe has said, and many of you know a little bit about it, too. We get to share in the second hour here, in the Sunday school hour, I guess that is what I normally call it. I don't know what you call it here. But we get to share about the children's home if you're able to stay. And we'll answer whatever questions you've got. And if we don't know the answer, we'll just make something up like we usually.
And if you've got indigestion, maybe God's calling you to stay and hear about how you can plug in possibly to the Woodburn Christian Children's Home.
Yeah. Joe, at Christmas time this year, over the years, I've tried to find different ways of saying to my kids and to my grandkids, and now Vivian and I are great-grandparents. Wow. And we have decided the funniest thing about being, I have decided that the funniest thing about being a great-grandpa is having a son who has a six-year-old still at home. Calling him grandpa, you know. Wow, this is realization for me. So this year, what I did at Christmas time was I bought very nice journals for each of the kids, even the little kids. Leather-bound, yes, they have an antique map on the cover. Anybody who knows me knows it would have that. But on the first page, here's what I wrote. Some people will warn you never to bite off more than you can chew. But I'd say, I'd rather choke on greatness than nibble at mediocrity. Pray and ask God to give you something significant to do for the kingdom, and then pursue it with all your heart, soul, and mind. Follow Jesus. Don't turn back. And we'll all be in heaven someday. You know, I call upon both young and old, men and women, boys and girls, to form the discipling relationships necessary to pass on the faith and dreams to the next generation. Each one of you who is young, find someone who is older, who is wise and strong and good. And the first thing I'd have you do is ask them how they got that way. And they won't tell you, I got this way because I had a real easy life. Will you? You tell them about the challenges that you met and overcame through the grace of God. You'll tell them about the successes in life and even the failures, the things that were easy and the things that were hard. Find someone who is older and wise and strong and good. Draw the spiritual marrow out of their bones. You will not hurt them. And to those of you who are older, the very thing that keeps you from forming discipling, mentoring relationships, mentoring relationships with younger people is one of the qualities that we admire most in you, and that is your sense of modesty and the fact that you're not too stuck on yourself. There's a confidence that comes with having lived for years under the grace of God and seeing what He can accomplish. And you know that it's not you that has done these things. People ask, Lee, do you have a sense of, what was the term? At the children's
legacy?
A sense of legacy. I say, no, I don't have a sense of legacy. I have a sense of responsibility. The children's home was handed to me in good condition. I've taken it and we've done the ministry for 33 years. We've built, we've expanded, we've done these things. But I'll tell you what, the greatest concern of my life is that I hand it off in the same good condition in which it was handed to me. One of my directors once in a while says, Bracy, you worry too much. And I say, no, Bill, I worry just right. Because I need to anticipate the things that could take us down. I need to see around corners. You know, when something's going right, God's blessing it. And two things are happening too in leadership. Good things are being planned and being pursued. And a lot of crummy things are not happening. And how you ever measure the crummy things that didn't happen, I don't know. But it's part of leadership. And my sense of responsibility overcomes any sense of accomplishment along the way.
Right.
An old man going a lone highway, speaking of bridges, came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again must pass this way. To the chasm that I moved it here. The builder lifted his own old gray head. Good friend in the path I have come, he said. There follows after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building the bridge for him.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, help us all to be bridge builders. Father, help us, motivate us, give our eyes the vision to see the mentoring relationships, the discipleship relationships that we can enter into so that the kingdom grows, the church continues to grow. And Father, we're so thankful for Jesus Christ. Lord, all things flow in and through our faith in Him. We pray, Father, that as this day continues to go forward, we may look for opportunities to proclaim our faith in the everydays of life. Father, we pray these things in that precious and sustaining name of Jesus Christ. Amen.